Before the break, I was talking about how many Americans, when asked questions about our economy, get the answer wrong. We think the answer is worse than it is. I gave a few examples. Do we think that the medium net worth of the American household is better today or before the pandemic? We all say before the pandemic, or two-thirds of us. It's wrong. Same with inflation. Is it going up or is it coming on down? The rate, we think it's still going up. It's not. So I think Sarah Foster might have part of the reason why. She's the principal U.S. economy reporter at Bankrate. Sarah, thanks for coming on the program with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always great to be here with you.
This one kind of boggles my mind, but I need to remember that, you know, I host a financial show here, even though I'm not a financial expert. So I read the headlines and I see the government data when it comes out. But most Americans, when they're asked, go on their gut and what's happened to them and their personal experiences. And we should take stock of that and realize that people are hurting.
Yeah. So what you're really highlighting here is something that's been standing out to me for some time now. And I've come to the conclusion that there is the economy that economists study, and then there is the economy that Americans experience. And both of these groups are kind of looking at different metrics when they're trying to maybe give that grade for the economy. And so economists are looking at the macro. They're looking at widespread changes in hiring, employment, consumer spending. But everyday people are really that micro part of that isn't often reflected, stories that aren't often told in the nationwide numbers. And they're even looking at different metrics. So, you know, in this reporting that I did, we found that 59% of Americans feel like the economy is in a recession. And I think the reason why really goes back to two things, rising interest rates and an increasingly high cost of living. But economists don't really include those aspects as part of their definition of what is a recession, even though households seem like they are.
Right. I mean, you look at GDP at a 5.2% clip in the third quarter, annualized, of course. But that, if we could do that forever, that'd be incredible. And yet you see those numbers. Do most people feel like they have been directly impacted? And when you say like these micro things, we're talking about the price of cars, the price of groceries, the price of gas and homes, right?
Yeah. So when we're looking at the overall cost of living and why Americans are indicating that they feel like the economy is holding them back, they're remembering how much it costs to buy groceries 3 years ago versus today, or how much it costs them to fill up their gas tanks right now versus before the pandemic. And while economists are looking at this overall annual rate of inflation, I have been discovering through my research that very few Americans think this way. They're thinking about prices overall in the grand scheme of this pre-pandemic, post-pandemic kind of lives that we separate ourselves in. And something that I often do kind of point out is that there could also be this confusion between the way we are categorizing the sway of inflation. And so right now, economists are watching disinflation, but that doesn't mean that prices are falling. It just means that prices aren't rising as quickly as they once were. And I think for Americans, that's really the big sticking point.
Right. And I try and remind people that we really actually don't want all of the prices to go down. We don't want deflation. That may feel good for a moment, but it usually signals something greater that is very bad happening in the economy. Sarah, I wonder if the remedy of this part of it is time. We have seen ginormous increases in our grocery store bills over the last few years. When you put it all together, about 20% since before the pandemic. Homes at like 50%, something like that. It's just crazy numbers. Do you think a little of it is sticker shock? And as the number remains the same or close to it, or the number goes up ever so slightly now as opposed to big jumps, that people will feel a little bit better because the sticker shock of the initial jump has eased a bit?
Sticker shock is a great way of putting it, and time actually is the secret. That's kind of what I've been telling people. I hearken back to this study that we did this fall where we tracked wage growth and inflation, and we found that while wages are now rising at a pace that's faster than inflation, if you were to zoom back out, you still see a 3 percentage point gap. So what we see here is that Americans still have ground left that they need to recover. And I think what really hinges on that is whether the economy can continue kind of operating the way it has been, this gradual moderation, not an abrupt slowdown like a recession, But this so-called soft landing of the economy, I think that's going to be crucial, because as long as Americans have time for their wages to continue rising at a pace that's faster than inflation, it can help them make up for that lost ground. And according to our projections, it could take until the end of next year for the gap to fully close. So, you know, time really is what's required here, and maybe patience too, for, I mean, especially knowing just how much higher prices and the medicine for higher prices, aka higher interest rates, are hurting everyday people.
Yeah, because these numbers, I mean, I'm sure there's been other times in history where the economists and everyday Americans disagree on where the economy is going, but the numbers are fairly staggering when you look at consumer sentiment below what it was like in 2008, when three times as many people were unemployed, lower than it was pretty much in the 70s when inflation was at 10% for not 1 month, which we didn't even get to 10% for 1 month, 10% for nearly, 8 years. I mean, this is a real gross diversion in terms of how wide the gap is.
I would definitely say that low consumer sentiment, I mean, we've always known that there are these differences in the way economists describe the economy and the way consumers describe the economy. But what stands out about this era is just how much those two viewpoints have diverged. And so you're exactly right. I mean, I was looking back at numbers from the University of Michigan's consumer sentiment poll, and there were times right now where sentiment today, when unemployment has been at a historically low level for about a year now, when inflation, is coming back closer into the range of 2%, obviously the job isn't over yet. But there were times when inflation and unemployment were much higher and sentiment actually was much higher today than it is. And I think maybe what's going on here, too, and a lot of things that economists have pointed out as well, is that people might be kind of reshaping the gauge in which they're rating themselves against the economy. And they could even just be using sentiment polls as a way to protest vote, and I think specifically about consumer spending, not aligning with the way that everybody is feeling.
You are hitting on something that I've wondered about too, is if people, and I think this has happened in our political world too, answer polls as a way to try and move the needle, as they almost get a chance to say, my voice is finally heard, I will register my general disappointment, and using the poll or the question to try and sway someone on the other end.
It could be, and we even know through these consumer sentiment polls that there are clear differentiations by political ideologies. So it's always the office that's in the White House, the opposite party tends to be feeling the most gloomy, and that's kind of something that's always been the case with consumer sentiment measures. So I think there is something to be said. And another thing that I think really stands out to me is just how much the pandemic did alter everyone's perceptions of the economy. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, if we were to talk about inflation, it might be really hard to explain how that impacts everyday people because they hadn't really been living with it before. In the same way, they discovered that how important consumer spending is for economic growth. I think everybody got a firsthand lesson about how the macro impacts the micro. And it's kind of like opening Pandora's box. I mean, once you kind of reveal those inequities and those ways that the economy can hurt people, there's almost no going back there.
Sarah, we got in the weeds a little bit. I really liked being down there. That was fun. I hope to have you on again soon, okay?
Thanks for having me.
That's Sarah Foster from Bankrate. Great discussion. Learned a lot there. Let's take a break before the news.